Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here, your host with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday. You can always tune into us in a variety of ways, certainly live on Saturdays or pre-recorded on Saturdays at 2 p.m. You can also get us on radio.com. 99.3 FM, the WBT website under the shows tab, or you can watch us wave around, jump up and down, scream, holler, and kick on the Jamison Realty YouTube channel when we post it. We're about 2 weeks behind on the Jamison Realty YouTube channel getting the stuff up, but it is kind of funny to watch us on there, too, because we do all kinds of things you wouldn't expect on there, so you should check that out. All right, so anyway, happy Saturday. Yay! We're talking real estate today here with Vernon Jackson from the Jamison team. Hey, Vernon, how you doing?
Hello.
I call Vernon AJ, so you will hear me call him that name and know that it is the same person and know he does not have multiple personalities. Well, maybe he does. All right. Also joining us here momentarily in the second segment will be Ashley Cameron with the Costner Law Firm. We look forward to spending time with her. She's going to pop on in the Zoom call in the middle of this segment, I know. So you'll get to see her come on and me go, don't say anything yet. All right. But anyway, so you guys know that our theme is done. D-O-N-E. Done. Exclamation point. Done, 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 done. It's about getting it done. All right. So we figured we would start the show with the hardest working and the least hardest working states, the ones that get it done and the ones that don't especially get it done. So number one hardest working state, that would be North Dakota.
Makes sense.
They get her done.
They need to stay warm.
They do. Fifth, kind of the middle of the pack out of the top 10, Nebraska. Same kind of thing, right?
Farmers.
That's right. They're hard workers. So what's the 10th hardest working?
That would be Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe waiting
tables? I didn't
see
that coming. What do you think? You know, I mean.
Surfing?
I guess. They're getting it done that way. So, what are the least? The bottom pack of the 10, 41 to 50. Number 41 comes in at Arizona.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Middle of the pack there is Connecticut. Yeah. I figured with all the Subarus and Birkenstocks and tree hugging up there, they'd get something done, wouldn't you think?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so what's the state that just doesn't seem to get it done?
West Virginia.
Ugh. West Virginia came in the last overall largely because it scored worst in direct matrix, notching the country's third lowest unemployment rate and second highest idle youth rate.
Wow.
Idle youth.
Wonder how they come up with that metric.
Yes, I don't know.
How would they respond?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. West Virginia probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah, probably wouldn't.
So, anyway. All right, so one other thing, and you know me and the stuff that I try to come up with, what did I learn this week? I also thought it'd be fun to say, what are the top five things that influence a neighborhood choice for a buyer? So if you're out there getting ready to sell right now, we need to talk about these five things. So here's the first one. Quality of the neighborhood. Quality of the neighborhood. Now, that's a pretty subjective subject, right? You could say, it's got an HOA that makes sure the garbage cans go in at 501. There's no weed in the grass. That was funny. No weeds in the grass. No. That's right. All the trees are uniform. The mailboxes are the same. Everything is shalala. Everything is right down the wagon the way that it should be. A lot to be said for that. But to me, that opens up also the fact that, you know, quality of the neighborhood isn't just about the HOA. It's about the people. It's about walkability. It's about amenities. It's about culture. And that last word, culture, is one of the things that I think plays the most, not just in a business, but also in a neighborhood and a surrounding area. Making sure that it's a culture that likes to go out and meet in the neighborhood, likes to spend time together, has a lot of activities, does things to bring a community together. I really like that. And I'm attracted to that kind of thing. Why do you think those senior communities like the Villages and all that do so well? It's about culture and the quality of that neighborhood.
Yeah,
so what's next?
They've got activities. They've got amenities.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's next? What's the second one, AJ?
Convenience to your job.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, it just depends. How long do you want to make a commute? For most of us down here, anywhere from a 15 to 30 minute commute is acceptable.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, they have this score called the walkability score or commute score, where they look at a neighborhood and average things around it and they give it a score. Now, you know, in a listing, we can't even say hardly walkable neighborhood because somebody may be offended by that. But reality is that convenience to a job is important. And whether you bike, walk, stroll, roll, jump, however you do it, you want to make sure that there is that kind of window in getting there. The third one is affordability. Now, affordability, there's an affordability index that looks at, you know, the amount you pay based on average salaries and, you know, notes in the neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. But realistically, these days, if the average first-time home buyer is 33 years old, affordability is a factor. It does play into what we're talking about. So I think that's important, too. What's next, AJ?
Closeness to your family and friends.
Yeah. You know, I mean, of course, that today is a little bit different, but if you can still stand 6 feet away from a friend, it still beats not being close.
That's true.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, you know, people give open houses a lot of grief, but don't you think, you know, that people want to have people they like living in the same community? So if you think about the open concept, it certainly is that a lot of neighbors want to be nosy and see what's in the house.
Always.
Right. But neighbors also want friends living near them. So they're a lot of times the influencer to get people into the open house because they want their friends nearby.
Yeah. They're scouting out the stuff.
Right. Right. All right. And what's the last one?
Being close to shopping and restaurants.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's a big thing these days, even if you have to sit outside. And close to shopping and convenience has always been a big thing. All right, couple more stats before we go into segment two. Here's some interesting things. 83% of buyer agents agree that stagings helps buyers visualize a property as their future home. Now, here's something I find interesting about that, is a lot of times the inventory that's up for sale right now is older, right? And so, excuse me, a lot of the furniture is older. So when somebody walks in, they see old furniture, and we're going to talk about grandma houses later, which is a really good thing. You'll love that segment, you know, and it's, you know, doilies galore. They see old furniture as a house being out of date. So staging helps to bring together the buyer's expectation and the type of design they're used to seeing, right?
Yes.
So you like staging?
I do. It does a lot for a house.
Yeah.
Definitely helps people visualize with modern furniture style, Pottery Barn, etc.
Yeah. If it's all pictures of your family, pictures of your dog, dogs playing poker, Elvis, you know, you're going to see their house. You're not going to see your house. Making that home look like a home you would want to live in is a big thing.
Agreed.
And here's the last thing before we go to break. The average homeowner has a net worth 36 times higher than the average renter.
Wow.
Isn't that an interesting statistic?
That is.
And with rates today, people should be buying. And if you're ready to sell, you need to think about it. Well, coming up next, we've got Ashley Cameron with the Costner Law Firm, Vernon Jackson. I'm Paul Jamison. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today. Saturday, we're with you. So stay with us. We look forward to talking more on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Hello, welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host. With the Jamison family of companies, we're enjoying Saturday with you. Hope wherever you are dry, safe, cool, and happy. We're talking real estate today. I'm here with Vernon Jackson with the Jamison Realty team, as well as Miss Ashley Cameron with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Ashley, welcome. Welcome. Glad you're on.
How are you?
Welcome.
All right. So, you know, Ashley, this morning when we talked, to be prepared for today, we had all kind of issues that are popping up right now as it relates to closings. One of those specifically, I've seen happen personally, and I've seen happen, what would you say, maybe one out of every 10 or 12 closings is the home equity lines that people had are paid off, but not handled.
Definitely. I've had quite a few this month, last month, and I'm still seeing them come up. So basically, a home equity line of credit is an open deed of trust. It's an open deed of trust that actually allows people to have future advances on if they wanted to pull out more money on the equity of their home. And the problem is if it's supposed to be closed and it's never actually closed, it can create a title problem moving forward. The recent one that I just had, it delayed us a couple of days because I was still trying to get a satisfaction from the past lender. And the problem wasn't that the seller couldn't help. It was a prior owner equity line. So the previous attorney did not send in the close letter, or the lender just didn't do it.
Yeah. And, you know, Ashley, too, sometimes these attorneys, they're not in business anymore.
That's a problem, too.
Yeah. So you either have to hunt them down at their fishing hut in Vermont or Connecticut, because they're not really working, weren't they?
Yeah, you're right.
One of the ones where you said, or West Virginia, or they're not on this earth anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, what do you do?
Well, it's really hard with an equity line because most of the time the lender will not talk to me or the attorney on the file. They only want to talk to the borrower. So in this case, if it was a prior owner, I'm not even dealing with that person. I'm dealing with the current owner. So it just gets to be sort of a research project, background checks, finding phone numbers, possible emails, anything I can find to get in contact with these people, because I actually need their assistance in most cases to get it closed, because the lender's like, well, I can't talk to you. The actual owner of the account has to close it. So that is when it gets really complicated. And the other big issue here is that most title companies will not insure over an open equity line. They'll still, you know, if you have an old deed of trust, sometimes they'll insure over that. But an equity line is different because it's still considered open, and they could actually technically somebody could go out and pull money out on that property.
Mm-hmm. So
it's not even theirs.
So let me make a loaded statement. Now, I'm setting you up for the right answer.
Awesome.
So let's say we as the realtor go under contract, and we should be sending you that contract like right away.
Right.
To avoid these kind of issues coming up the day before you close.
Correct.
So, see, wasn't that an easy answer? It's kind of like the kind of answers.
But
questions
there's always,
Joe Biden
there's always
gets.
Complications. There's always going to be a complication because even if you send me that the contract, we'll do the title search, and it takes sometimes a week to find out, you know, oh, there's an open old equity line still there. Mm-hmm. I'm having it currently with just refinances. People have them on their current, and they're trying to refinance, and they're like, oh, that's still open? Thankfully, I'm dealing with the actual owner of the account, and that's mm-hmm. easy to fix, but it still requires their cooperation. So
yeah.
That just becomes a problem sometimes.
Yeah, you know, when I refied a couple of months ago, I got to keep the equity line that I had, but all they had to do was just contact the bank
yes.
that I had the equity line with, and they all
subordinated
it. Yeah, it was easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So
that part can be easier, but if you're trying to get it closed out, then it just becomes more challenging.
So something that to be said for being alive and present, right?
Yeah.
So is there something somebody can do to make sure that that happens when they sell their house? Like, I mean, is there some way that the consumer can avoid this issue?
So there's two things. One is it's really up to the attorney, number one. It's our job to make sure that when we send in the payoff amount, we're not wiring that in, at least my firm, we're not going to wire that in. For an equity line, we're going to overnight it with a physical letter that says it's being closed. We're asking the lender, you know, we're having that borrower sign that letter that says, please close the account. So it's coming directly from them, and we're sending it with the payoff. That should get it closed off. If that's not happening, then the best thing to do is for that borrower who had that account to actually go back after they've seen the payoff and check and see that it was closed.
Hmm.
They are going to want to make sure of that because sometimes the attorney's not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's just an interesting. It happens a lot. It really does. That was a good
mm-hmm.
thing to talk about. All right, so here's something that happens sometimes, and you have a solution for it. It's not fun, but let's say we're ready to close and the repairs are not done on the property by the time you close. Your solution is?
Escrow agreement.
Yay!
Yes, an actual written, signed by all three parties, those parties being the borrower, the seller, and the attorney, in this case, is the escrow agent. When something's not completed prior to closing, it's usually best for the attorney to draw up a written agreement that is saying, laying out all the terms that the attorney will hold the funds back from the contract or whoever it is until the repairs are sufficiently finished. And then we have both sides sign the release letting us pay that contractor from the agreement. But this is not a free service. So a lot of times we get a lot of pushback when we're asked, what do we do? The repairs aren't finished. And we get a lot of pushback because we're like, well, you can do an escrow agreement. Well, that's going to charge you a little bit because we got to draft it. And then it's the attorney's liability to hold the funds. So we're also charging because of the liability of actually holding the funds.
Yeah. And then is there some magic formula about how much to put in that agreement? Like, let's say the repair is $2,000. Have you seen them, or do they do it for $2,000, or do they do
it for
over that? I
have seen it. I really feel like the amount depends on how comfortable the buyer is and the sellers are with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If they're okay with a $400 bill going out at closing for something that's not finished, I mean, that's a decision they can make. But, you know, a couple thousand dollars might be a lot to somebody. And if it gets paid at closing, we're doing what we're supposed to do by sending out the checks based on the invoices we received. If the repairs don't get done, that's not really our problem anymore because we did what we were supposed to do, which is why if you're concerned about it not being finished, you should do an escrow agreement to make sure that the funds are sent to the contractor, whoever it is, that completes the repairs when they are actually completed.
Yeah. And what do you think the biggest, if you look at these escrow agreements, you had mentioned to me today I think the biggest asset of that is the fact that all three parties have to sign in order to disperse. That gets everybody in agreement. I think that's really the best reason to use that, don't you? So that there's never any ambiguity around the solution.
And you've got the attorney actually holding the funds. So mm-hmm. we're going to follow the letter of the contract, the agreement that we've drafted. So it's the safest way if you're concerned about somebody not getting the repairs completed. Mm-hmm. It is the safest way to do it. It's just a lot. I get a lot of pushback on that because people want that done for free. So
Yeah. I can see that. I think so. And if it's multiple disbursements, it's a little more.
Yeah, it could get more expensive, too, because we'll charge for different draws.
Right. Well, Ashley, we've got more to come with you. The show, Your Real Estate Today, you're with Vernon Jackson, myself, Paul Jamison, with the Jamison family of companies. It's Saturday, for goodness sake. What better day to talk about real estate? So stay with us. We've got so much more. We're coming back with what makes a house scream old house / grandma. So we're going to talk about that. So stay with us. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the country western version of Your Real Estate Today. You doggy. We're here to talk about your house, and that's what I'm saying. And we're here to talk more about grandma and what makes a house an old house. Can you tell I used to spend a little time in the honky-tonk bar? Different life. Those days are gone.
Thank God.
Anyway, I could never get the boots off. Anyway, so we're here to talk about real estate on a Saturday afternoon. I'm here with Vernon Jackson with the Jamison team, myself, Paul Jamison. We're going to be talking grandma houses. Yes, we are. So no reason to argue. Some have your own version, and you'll probably email them to me, and that's fine. Last week it was signs that should be put up in the bathroom. That was fun. So today's grandma houses. All right, so Vernon.
Yes.
What is the best, what is one of the ways that a house looks to be grandma?
Carpet everywhere.
Carpet everywhere.
I skipped.
Oh, you skipped a bunch of them.
Well, I skipped one paragraph.
Okay. Carpet everywhere. That's because he didn't want to read the other one.
No.
Okay. Mine was the same as yours was. I've got Ashley Cameron on the horn, too. I was talking about it's the vintage furniture, right? Like the old rocking chairs. That's what you said, right, Ashley?
Yeah.
Yeah, that old rocking chair, the vintage fireplace, you know. The urn, you know, with her husband in it up on the fireplace, you know, with a doily underneath. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, the doilies.
Yeah, that's it. Carpet everywhere. So recently, I bought a house over in Rock Hill. And when I talk about carpet everywhere, it was everywhere. Bathrooms, every place. Interesting place to have shag carpet. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. I hate it.
But you know what? What was interesting, one of the houses I saw had orange shag in it. We took up the orange shag carpet. The hardwood floors underneath had never been walked on. So the house had beautiful hardwood floors covered up with orange shag carpet.
They forgot about it.
Unbelievable. That must have been the thing back then. Of course, there were orange appliances.
Do you remember raking carpet?
Yes, I do. Yep.
In the 70s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it had that little metal rake that you did it with.
Yep. You rake your carpet.
All right. What else?
All right. So honey oak or pine cabinets.
Ooh, the old pine cabinets. Yeah.
Well, the oak is the builder grade basic, right?
Yeah, that's true. Back then.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you do with them now?
Well, if you got a good painter,
yeah,
have them refinish them for you.
Yeah. And I guess you guys have also heard my spots I do for Bruce Zaidman over at American Wood Reface. If the boxes are good on your cabinets, take the doors off. Have somebody like American Wood Reface come out and do it, put new doors on it. It gets fancy schmancy real quick for a lot less money.
Oh, yeah.
They do a good job. So what do you think about this one? What makes a house more grandma? Popcorn ceiling.
Ooh.
Have you ever seen a dirty popcorn ceiling?
Yes, especially with a ceiling fan.
Try to clean it. Yeah, with a mop or something. Next thing you know, you got mop hair in the thing. You got dirt in there. You can't clean a popcorn ceiling.
Leaf blower. That's what you use.
Are you serious? Golly. Popcorn ceiling. You know why they have popcorn ceiling, right?
Cheaper.
Why it got into it. Exactly. You don't have to finish the ceiling and sand it and do the seams and everything. So they spray the gook on it to get it done faster. And let's say like a lot of places, someday your kids overflow the tub and it flows over. And the next thing you know, the water is going through the living room where the popcorn ceiling is. And you got to fix it. Once you try to fix popcorn ceiling, it's never going to look the same, ever.
Nope.
You know, I think I had an example of what it looks like. You know, it looks like putting cottage cheese on it. You know, you can't fix it. Cottage cheese, interesting.
Yeah,
food, is it not? Let's sit around and watch milk rot, and then let's put it in a jar and eat it. Yum. All right. What's next?
Bathroom fixtures with different styles and colors.
Oh, yeah.
I love brass and nickel.
Yeah. How about the purple toilet?
Oh.
You got to have one of those.
How about pink?
Yeah, pink. And then they had the green. They had the blue, Smurf blue, the
Where
Smurf
the tub
bathroom.
Matches the toilet in the same color.
Yeah. But you know what? As out of date as that is, go look online at the cost of one of those pedestal sinks that's a funky color like that. They're expensive. They're hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy. All right. How about laminate countertops? Now, let me clarify. There's some pretty cool laminate countertops out there that you can have redone. Not in the studio here. This is kind of like 1910. Did you hear that, Matt Hanlon? 1910. All right. Okay. There's some pretty cool laminate. So I'm just going to say grandma can be like the yellow countertops with bunnies in it, the laminate. Maybe that we'll call that the grandma. All right. What's next, AJ?
Our lovely shiny gold fixtures.
Oh, the shiny gold.
Some people call it brass.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
You know, I look at also the light fixtures and things. You know, like the light fixture when you walk in that looks like a giant pill. How about that one? The brass fixture that all the builders put in, or the one in the dining room that looks like a spider upside down?
Yep.
You just want to take that thing and hook it to your car and drag it around for a while. I've seen so many of those things. They got to go. You know, they got to go. But here's a piece of useless yet useful trivia. Do you know that those, you know, those brass door handles and all that? Do you realize that there is a chemical reaction when you touch those brass doorknobs that kill germs?
No.
Really?
Wow.
So, I don't know if it kills the COVID, but it does kill germs. So, there is some redeeming value to the doorknobs. The rest of it, gotta go.
Yep.
All right. Who loves dark wood paneling? Woot, woot. How about some of that? Little dark wood paneling, little pine. I mean, look at some of those pine paneled rooms. I mean, that's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Nobody likes it.
Dated.
Looks good painted, though.
Yep.
You know? All right. What else you got?
I got the good old TV cabinet.
Oh,
also
yeah.
Also called the armoire.
Yes, the media cabinet. Yeah. Well, I mean, what can you fit in there now?
Nothing.
Yeah.
32-inch TV.
Yeah, there, no TV will fit that. You know, I was over at my son's yesterday. It had the media, like the cavity over the fireplace. How are you going to fit a TV in there? You know, how are you going to do it? You just can't.
Yep.
The TVs of today. Okay, so everyone keeps asking me this question. What is chintz wallpaper? Do you know what chintz wallpaper is, Ashley?
I did not know what that was.
I know the answer.
That's good.
It's not chintz as in chintzy, but it's like the super duper floral pattern wallpaper. It's
roses.
Called fussy floral. That means the flower, there's so many that the flowers are fighting with each other. That's some grandma right there. So, you know, is it better, I guess, the question would be if we took a poll, is the fussy floral better than the bunnies or the kitties or the goose with the bonnet and the cotton gin? I mean,
yeah.
Is it? Okay. The goose with the bonnet on and the cotton gin, that's always primo stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That is pretty good.
Can you see going to, I guess, out of the Sears catalog going, you know what, Buster? I think in our bedroom, the right kind of design feature would be to get some geese with bonnets and cotton gins. I think that would really go well with our pine furniture. What do you think? And our armoire to hold our 10-inch TV. What do you think? Does that sound like good? What's her name from Magnolia would see that coming back? They say all good will come back. I don't see that stuff coming back. All right. We got more grandma, and we've got more issues with Ashley from Costner Law Firm talking about the your closing and legal things around your real estate. The whole cotton gin thing's got me going. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Stay back. We've got much more. We'll be right with you. News Talk 1110, 99.3 W.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Hello. Welcome back. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here with Vernon Jackson with the Jamison team, myself, Paul Jamison of the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments. If you're looking for an investment property, if you're tired of the ups and downs of the market and looking for ways to balance your portfolio, we'd love to talk to you. I'm here with Ashley Cameron with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Ashley.
How are you?
Good. We're going to talk about who has to sign when the property is sold, and why does it matter? And, okay, before we go, before you say anything, this is something everybody misunderstands, except you. Who has to sign, Ashley?
So the basic rule, and there's bunches of them, you know, we always have lots of rules being attorneys, but the basic rule is anyone with a possible interest in the property will be required to sign at closing, buyers or sellers. I know most agents are taught one to buy, two to sell. That's the normal thing that is kind of taught to agents when they go to class and everything. But I find it's really important for agents to really understand and be able to set the expectations of who needs to be at closing. So I basically kind of set it out, like if you have a married couple and both are going to be on the deed, the actual deed to the property, then both people need to be at closing for buying, if they're buying.
Okay.
If you have a married couple that are buying and there's only one borrower say, you know, one person's on the loan and only he's going to be, or she is going to be on the deed as well. It'll just say that person's name/married. You actually don't need both. You don't need both the spouses. You'll just need the one person, but it depends on who is on the deed. For refis and for sellers, if you're married as a seller, I don't care if you're married, separated, hate the man to the depths of hell and back, if you are still married, married and not officially divorced with the court, it will require the other person's signature to sell. I run into this constantly, especially I always joke about this is the marriage slash divorce season. It always seems to hit right around January and kind of through the spring. But you find a lot of people, they're going to sell their property. They find out, well, but so-and-so was never on the deed. I bought this before I was married. I'm like, well, but are you still married right now? You got married and you're married. So that means that person still has to sign. It's always, it's never what they want to hear. But unfortunately, North Carolina law states that if you're married, even if that person's not on the deed, it's going to require the spouse's signature.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a curveball at you. You may know the answer, you may not.
Mm-hmm.
So since a trailer is considered a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and they're married, does the spouse have to sign?
What's the trailer sitting on?
A rental lot.
So they rent the lot and they're actually trying to sell just the trailer?
Just the trailer.
If it's personal property, I think you can get away with it. It would just be whoever's on title.
But if there is a property involved, real property involved, or land, both, right?
If it is real property, and you know, mobile homes are a tricky little beast because a lot of times you people buy those as a home, and they think of it as home. And you're right. The problem is that initially it's registered with the DMV unless it's actually affixed to the land, meaning it is made real property.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not made real property, yeah, it's still with the DMV and still considered personal property. And even looking at the tax bill isn't necessarily going to tell you 100% that that is that it's actually affixed or officially real estate. But, to go back to the essential of your question, if it is affixed to land and it is considered real property, you're going to need the spouses to sign.
Right.
If it is just, they're truly just selling it as a mobile home and they're having that whole home moved to some other rental property,
mm-hmm.
it's probably just going to be the person that's on the title.
Yeah, because you're seeing it with the tiny homes. The tiny homes are actually a mobile home, right?
Yep.
And they still got wheels underneath them. And if you live with somebody else in a tiny home, you're probably going to get divorced anyway. So it's probably a good idea to at least bring up that subject. Along with one of my favorite jokes is, what happens if you play country music backwards? You get your wife back, your house back, and you quit drinking. But anyway, sorry. Okay. So anyway, what does that have to do with real estate? Okay. Selling older properties, Ashley. Selling older properties.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. I want to switch. Before we go to older properties, I want to talk about the future. I want you to look in your crystal ball, Ashley. And I want you to share with me your predictions of how future closings will be instead of the way they are now, which is three trees of paper.
Yep.
You stamping everything with your notary stamp.
Yep.
And having to go through that process with a mask on. What is the future?
So I actually feel like it's going to take a while. I know even before COVID, there are a lot of people predicting, oh, we're going to go virtual closings and it's going to be electronically based. I mean, I even have an e-notary in preparation for that. The problem is going to be, especially in North Carolina, is that our notary law requires presence. And the rule for presence in North Carolina is the person physically being in with you in the room. Mm-hmm. So Skype, Zoom, what we're doing right now, that's not really going to work. You have to be in the same room with me for me to be able to notarize. So I'm thinking it's going to take a little longer for it to be 100% going virtual e-signing, e-notaries, because I'm still going to have the person in the room with me, unless North Carolina changes their law. Now, as for actually if we have, like right now we do a lot of hybrids. There's a ton of hybrids. I've got quite a few lenders that they'll try to do as many of the documents as an e-sign before they ever come to my office.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we're talking like a packet like that. gets down to there. We're going to cut it in half.
Inch to a half
they
inch, yeah.
They sign everything in advance. So when they get to me, all they're signing are the things I have to stamp and actually see them sign. So I think that's actually coming along quite well, and it does make it a quicker process. We're spending a little less time, you know, at the closing table with all this extra paper. Unfortunately, the other problem I see with going full virtual is there's too many platforms, technology platforms, and until there's one that everybody's kind of agreeing on, I don't know how we're going to be able to make it a feasible process, because I don't see attorneys or title companies in other states buying multiple platforms to do electronic closings.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's coming, but I'd like to see it come, actually, quite frankly.
I would too. I don't have a problem with the change. I just can see the complications.
Yeah, I do. Well, before we go, I want to get a couple more of our grandma house notes in there. One of the things, Vernon, that I brought out was countertops.
Oh, yes, especially our lovely tile countertops, whether it's ceramic or marble.
I tell you, and the tile marble tops with grout in between, you can never get the things clean, and it's just kind of nasty,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a grandma. What about a border, wallpaper border? That's a grandma thing. You get the bunnies chasing themselves around the room, or, you know, kittens that, you know, frolicking in different flowers. Oh, that's a super, super border option. Yay for that one. I'm like, let's nuclearize that thing. All right. What about blinds?
Ooh, yeah. Good thing.
Yeah? Especially, what about blinds?
What about the vertical blinds? Don't you just love those?
On
sliding glass doors?
Oh, yeah. How about the one that always gets stuck on the vertical door?
Oh.
You're dragging the thing across there, and then it breaks, and one falls off and it cracks, and then you got a hole. It's crazy. All right. Well, Ashley, thanks for spending this hour with us. We enjoyed having you. If they want to call Costner, what's the main number?
The main number is 980-219-7637.
Yeah, thank you. And AJ, thanks for doing this with me.
Always enjoy it.
Thanks for listening. We enjoyed spending Saturday with you. Call us at 846-DONE, 846-3663. We want to help you with real estate, investment, property management, or buying and selling. Have a great Saturday. God bless. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 FM.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.